Hello and welcome back to the Faithful Exchange podcast. My name is Matt. I will be your host for this episode, and we hope that everyone had an incredible Easter with friends, family, your church community, and of course, diving into the scriptures. Today, we're going to be meditating on Jesus' sacrifice, death, and resurrection, and specifically what he said on the cross when he said, "Eloi, Eloi," or my God, why have you forsaken me?" This topic may stumble some believers if they misunderstand Jesus' intention behind saying these words. So, understanding requires something spiritual beyond words themselves. First, we should consider the context that Jesus' mission and purpose on the earth was. Jesus, the Messiah, that God sent to save all mankind, but not a physical savior like David, as many people wished, but a Messiah that saves people from their sins, leading them towards God and the truth. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 5, verses 30 to 31. It reads, "The God of our father raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as a prince and a savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel." Amen. We'll also take a look at John 4, verse 25 to 26. Where Jesus is conversing with a woman who recognizes him as the Messiah. It reads, "The woman said, 'I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus declared, 'I who speak to you am he.'" Amen. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, it is prophesied, "A shoot will come up from the stub of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Amen. All these verses are declaring Jesus as the Lord, and even prophecies of the Old Testament. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 49. It reads, "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine, vinegar, and put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.'" Amen. Now, what kind of heart would Jesus have looking out towards his disciples who were watching amongst the crowd? What kind of heart or thought would he have at the moment? Let's look at it with sober judgment. Would we second guess whether we followed or believed in the right person? Would God allow the Savior he sent to be treated and killed in this way? Jesus must have known that his disciples could have faltered in this situation. So instead of thinking about himself, he encouraged them, saying the scripture. Did you know that what Jesus was saying was actually from a popular song at the time? The Psalms were the main songs at the time of Jesus, just like we have songs today that are very popular amongst praise and worship artists and many churches. They had the Psalms to sing praises towards God. In fact, this is a quote from Psalms 22, verse 1, which reads, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning." Amen. What happens when you hear a song with a familiar tune? Like today, if there's a TikTok song or a social media trend that has been going around, some would have played that tune and the whole generation would be familiar with it. We also have songs like that today. We have themes and songs we've loved or heard so many times in our childhood that we can just recite it after a few seconds or a few melodies. It's the same thing here. Look at Psalms 22. It even specifies the tune to another song. So it would have been a very well-known song at the time. So what was Jesus trying to do? Jesus' disciples knew the scriptures so well that it was just like that. If they heard just one verse, they knew what Jesus was referring to. Instead of thinking what Jesus was saying all of a sudden, they would have realized he was quoting Psalm. Just like how we would recall a song, they would recall the entire chapter of Psalms 22, understanding his intention behind it. Look at verse 16 and 17 of the same chapter. David was never in such a situation, but rather this was a prophecy about the Savior. Psalms 22, verse 6 to 8 reads, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everything, despised by the people. All those who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." This is the same thing that it says in Psalms 22, approximately 1,000 years ago, before Jesus. That's pretty crazy, because what does Jesus see later in Matthew 27? Matthew chapter 27, verse 29 to 44 reads, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God.' In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults at him. So what was Jesus trying to remind them of? That even the sacrifice was God's plan. There was no need to fear, because it would all happen according to God's will. Then what should we as believers understand from this story? How can we apply this to ourselves? First, how well do we know the scriptures? Jesus wouldn't have used the method to his disciples if they didn't know the word already. Second, how well do I know God's plan for his people, and how much faith do I have in it? If I can't even say what God is doing today, then what is the measure of my faith? Overall, we're springing into a new season in 2024, the season of new growth and change. If we don't understand God's promises, something can be said or happen, and we might be offended by it. Think about how many people would have failed to connect what Jesus said to what David wrote in 1,000 years ago. Jesus was saying that God was with him, but now suddenly he's saying that God has forsaken him? That's shocking, but if we have an intimate relationship with God's word, we can obey and follow God better and have faith in his promises. So how well do you know about Jesus' second coming and God's promises today? Of course, Revelation has some shocking content, but is the point to shock us, or for those who have an intimate relationship with the word to follow and have faith? Why not take the opportunity to grow closer to God and his word? If you would like to learn more about ways to do this, how you can grow in your spiritual journey, you can reach us on our Instagram or our Facebook page. And we look forward to seeing you guys in the next episode.